This is the March 6th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petitions 503 through 529, and the properties are owned by CV Townhomes. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Greg LeBlanc here for the appellant. If you would now please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. I guess I should tell you the rest of this stuff. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your properties, your client properties, as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen, if that's okay. So it looks like you've got the value up, or it's like it's thinking. Are you able to see page one of my evidence?
Yes.
Great, thank you. So this is the Crossings Townhomes, which is located in Battleground, and the property itself was built in 2016. Consists of two-story townhomes, 27 units in total. Average unit size is 1,367 square feet per unit. So they were built in 2016 and platted as condominiums, and they've been operated as 55 plus rental housing since completion. So they're configured as two bedroom, two and a half bath, or three bedroom, two and a half bath units. The apartments have kitchens with dishwashers, black finish appliances, built-in microwave, laminate counters, drop-in stainless sinks. They all have washer dryers and a single or double car garage, depending on the unit type. Other features include a balcony or patio, and some units have wood fireplaces. There are no common amenities. So page three, we can see the location in Battleground. Page four, here's a closer up location within the city limits and an overhead aerial of the 27 units. Here's some exterior pictures of the units and interior of typical kitchen finishes here. There's a page six has kind of an overview of the unit types and the square footage. And here's another some unit plans on page seven. We, of course, are differing from the assessor's approach. We're putting 100% weight on the income approach, where the assessor is doing an individual fee simple condominium valuation per each unit, even though they were all under the same ownership. So the assessor's obviously conclusion for their highest and best use is that these are going to be sold as individual condominiums, but they've not produced any market evidence to support this. And namely, we believe that there would be a lower value than what the assessor has concluded, because if if you sold all these off, it'd either be a bulk sale transaction, which would be at a discount, or you would have a sell-off model for 27 individual condominium sales. If they were sold in a single transaction, there would be a bulk sale discount. And if the owner sold them off as fee simple condos individually, they would incur holding costs associated with escrow and closing costs, sale commissions, real estate taxes, insurance, utilities during the sell-off period. There would also be some uncertainty as to how long this sell-off period would take. We've presented
these are all separately metered and everything, so there's no restructuring that has to be done with respect to how things are distributed to the various units, is there?
No. That's you know, it's more the ownership structure that is the issue.
Yeah.
You know, there we would also argue that there would be additional costs to make these units ready for sale. You would incur lost rent, setting up and managing an HOA, and selling costs. There's also potential financing roadblocks for projects with high rates of renters in comparison to owners. And also we've seen that the 30-year mortgage financing rates have gone up dramatically for home ownership as well, for mortgages. As we discussed yesterday, there are some things going on with the market that also impact the valuation, and that includes increasing interest rates, slowing rent growth, increasing capitalization rates. With respect to the interest rates, we showed the First Republic just reported on the 10-year Treasury and the prime rate. And the differences that have occurred in a 12-month period between January of 2022 and January of 2023. Here we see the 10-year Treasury doubling from 1.76% up to 3.5%, and the prime rate going from 3.25% to 7.5%. There's also been significant changes in the 30-year mortgage rate. Here we see that as of January 2022, you're way below 4% in your 30-year mortgage rate. And fast forward up to January of 23, and now you're peaking over 7% in, you know, so you're between 6% and 7%. So that is a pretty significant difference. If we just kind of took a typical purchase price of a townhome, just like a retail value, and said we're going to finance 90% of that purchase for 30 years at a 3% rate, we have an annual mortgage payment of $15,170. If we go to January of 2023 and we have an interest rate going up to 6.5%, that mortgage payment goes up to $22,677, or that's a difference of over $7,500. So very significant changes due to the differences in the mortgage rates being offered. So that's, you know, just that 50% difference, that's $625 a month that your mortgage payment went up. So pretty significant. With respect to the multifamily world with the market conditions, again, we see that in 2022, we had a vacancy rate of 4.2% for the Vancouver multifamily market. 2023, that vacancy rate's going up to 8.2%. And as far as rent growth goes in 2023, the rent growth is now negative 2.5%. So with the increase in vacancy, landlords are finding it hard to increase rents due to competition for renters. Here's daily asking rent per square foot, and you can see that it peaking out mid-2022 and then going down towards the end of the year. And we've had, I won't read this paragraph over, but it's from the CoStar Multifamily Market Report, where it shows that we had pretty significant multifamily investment sales in a period here between Q3 of 2021 and Q2 of 2022. That's over $1 billion in multifamily sales. And then here you can see in Q3 and 4, when the increase in interest rates starts to impact the market and the amount of sales transactions has gone down significantly and continues to this day. And we can see that the market peaked in Q2 of 2022 and has since gone down. It's been a decline of between Q2 of 2022 and Q1 of 2023. The decline's been over 8.5%, according to CoStar. We've also shown some financing impacts. At our requested value, we've compared the assessed value and our requested value. In a typical mortgage scenario that you would get in Q1 of 2022 with a 4.5% interest rate and a 25-year amortization and a 70% loan, you would have a mortgage payment of $419,000 for the assessed value and $366,000 for our requested value. If we project with our projected NOI after taxes are deducted, we see that we have $20,000 left over. The assessed value is negative $32,000 even at this low 4.5% interest rate, so it's not even covering the NOI, won't even cover the mortgage at that assessed value. If we go to 2023, Q1 of 2023, and we look at interest rates, the picture gets even worse. So now we have a 6.5% interest rate at a 70% loan to value. That annual mortgage payment is now over $500,000 for the assessed value and $445,000 for our requested value. And under both scenarios here, we're in a negative leverage situation where our NOI is not even going to cover the debt payments, we have negative $57,000 for our requested value and a much more significant negative $121,000 for the assessed value. we've seen some cases where people are purchasing under negative leverage situations, but the cap rates are also dramatically increased as well. They're probably not as high as they should be to cover, and owners are, I guess, willing to be in this negative leverage situation for a year or two with the assumption that they will eventually be able to raise rents to cover this deficit in the debt payment. It's obviously impacting the market if you're looking at this negative leverage situation. Or I think the other issue is that buyers are having to bring in more equity, and they're not being allowed to finance 70-75% as they had been in better market times. So the other issue is the capitalization rate. Here we can see that the capitalization rates are increasing due to this increase in financing rates. CBRE, we've also included the CBRE survey as Exhibit 3. That's on page P143-48, and that cap rate survey indicates that for the Portland suburban market, cap rates range between 4.75% and 5.25%. We also did a weighted band of investment analysis, and that shows you a much higher cap rate indication based on current lending terms. But for our analysis, in our income approach, we're projecting a cap rate of 5%. So that is right in the middle of the suburban range, as reported by CBRE. Page 18 contains our income approach. You can see our projected rents at $1,855 per unit. And we've got some other miscellaneous income. And we have a 5% vacancy collection loss. And we have projected costs. And Mr. Weaver pointed out, the units are separately metered. You can see our utility costs are relatively low at $25 per unit per year, so really not that much, and that's because the tenants pay those costs directly. And that also impacts the amount of rent you get, because a lot of apartments just charge a flat rate for utilities, and now the tenant is paying everything. So we projected a 5% base cap rate. We've added the tax load, since we have not included the real estate tax expenses. So at our projected NOI before taxes of $456,000, we have a loaded cap rate of 5.78%. That indicates a capitalized value of $7,889,000 or $292,000 per unit. Here's the historical income and expenses. And you can see, I'm sorry, this did not print out, we're at $576,000, which is higher than what they've done historically. you can see on that top row the net rental income, and the, if you can add those two together, we're definitely going to be below $576,000 on their historicals. And their NOI, we're projecting at $456,000. This is NOI before taxes. And that is higher than any of the prior 4 years in the historical analysis as well. So we're projecting rising income, rising NOI, and at that low to cap rate of 5.78%, we get a value of 7.889,292,000 per unit. So the next question is, does this make sense, for a secondary check and comparable sales? So, we've included, comparable sales of other townhome projects in Vancouver. Those range between $217,500 and $348,000 per unit, and average $294,000 per unit before adjustment. And after we make adjustments for market conditions, location, unit features, amenities, unit size, the adjusted values range between $234,000 and $331,000 per unit, and average $288,000 per unit. So all the town-owned communities are located in Clark County, and they're built between 1996 and 2020. We can see these projects here. There's a summary table on page P121, and sales one, and sales one and sales two are newer projects. For Roosevelt Commons, it doesn't report the year built, but I believe it's 2020. This is a new project. I think sales one and two are both built by the same builder. So sales, sale one, that's 49 units. And yeah, these were sold together in a portfolio as a portfolio, but there's sales one and two sold together, but they do had allocated sale prices between the two with different cap rates. And this was a September 21 sale, the sale one selling at a 4.6% cap rate and sale two at a 4.89% cap rate. Sale three, this is a 10-unit project in Camas, sold at a 5.7% cap rate, and older project built in 1996. And sale four is property in six units in Vancouver. Six units that sold for $275,000. A piece, the reported cap rate was 4%, and each of the townhomes contains three bedroom, two and a half baths with a two car garage, and kitchens have stainless steel appliances. So we can see the sales in relation to the subject in Battleground. So they're all located in Vancouver, and with exception of three in Amos. Here's an adjustment chart for the sales on page P123. We've made adjustments for market conditions and as well as locations. They mostly all have superior locations, except for sale four in Orchards. We've considered that to be a similar location, and we've made adjustments. Some of them are newer in age, And so we have in adjustments after the adjustments for unit size, we're at 288,268 per unit. So that's very similar to our requested value. In summary, we believe that the assessor does not take market conditions into consideration. We believe that there are several things impacting valuation, including increase in financing rates for a 30-year mortgage, with rates now above 6% and expected to increase further, deteriorating multifamily market conditions that include negative rent growth and increasing vacancy rates, increasing capitalization rates, significantly increasing financing rates for investment purchases, and not considering decreasing multifamily values between mid-2022 and the valuation date. Our income approach, our valuation, our requested value is supported by the income approach and relies on rents achieved as of the valuation date and historical expenses, which is a more reliable indicator for market data. A typical investor would not ignore historical income and expenses for a professionally managed property. And we've also supported the requested value with four sales of other townhome communities in Vancouver. Based on that, we request your consideration in lowering the value for the property. Here's the exhibits that we've included, which I've talked about. We've got the CoStar Vancouver Multifamily Report. We've got the First Republic Historical Interest Rate Analysis. We have the CBRE First Half 2023 Cap Rate Survey. We've also got the Realty Rates Investor Surveys for Q1 2022 and Q1 2023, which talk about the typical financing terms for investment properties. And we have information on the CoStar comparable sales, as well as the subject's January 2023 rent roll and the subject's P&L statements from 2020, 2021, and 2022. With that, is there any questions from the board?
Well, I think I've got it.
Yeah, I don't have any questions. After reading it and listening to the presentations basically yesterday and today, I'm good with it. Thank you.
Great. So I'll stop sharing the screens with that. And with that, we can go on to the next appeal, if that's okay.
Let's close the hearing on that one, and then we can get you on record for the next one.
Yeah, let's close that hearing.
This is the March 6th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearings before us involve petitions 530 through 573. The properties are all owned by LG Enchanted Woods and Pebble Creek. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Greg LeBlanc here as a representative for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. So tell us about Enchanted Woods, LLC, and Pebble Creek. Okay,
this is referred to as Pebble Creek Village, and this property, we have many different tax lots, However, several of these are deeded surface parking spaces at lower assessments. Here's just by way of background. So the property consists of 44 apartments slash townhomes within a larger 78-unit condominium development built in 2003. The complex is located in Vancouver's Walnut Grove neighborhood. It was initially built as apartments, but converted to condominium ownership in 2006. So it was initially built in 2003, apparently during the condo craze of the early 2000s. They converted over to condominiums in 2006, and then I suspect that the condo market crashed with the Great Recession, and they've always been owned by a single entity and operated as foreign apartments since 2006. So this block was apparently the unsold units. So someone must have purchased those in 2006 and then resold in 2015 to the current owner. So the property consists of a mix of unit types. They include one bedroom, one bath, two bedroom, one bath, two bedroom, two bath, and three bedroom, two bath flats, as well as there are 7 4 bedroom, two and a half bath townhomes, and a single 5 bedroom, two and a half bath townhomes. The overall average unit size here is 1,073 square feet. And the 4 bedroom townhomes have a single car garage and the 2 car garage for the 5 bedroom townhomes. There are also 18 deeded surface parking spots under separate tax accounts under the same ownership. So in total, there are 62 tax parcels under the same ownership. Unit finishes include kitchen appliances, laminate counters, gas fireplaces, patios, balconies, and washer dryers. There are no common area amenities, and as of January 23, the development was 100% leased. Page P14 has an aerial of the site where it's located in the Walnut Grove neighborhood of Vancouver, just west of Vancouver Mall. Here's an aerial of the larger project. So our 44 units are sprinkled about here. I think these are more the traditional flats and here and here, with this being the townhomes along the right-hand side. Here's an exterior picture. It looks like a typical garden style walk-up two-story apartment building. And here's the unit, the typical kitchen unit finishes. You can see that, you know, we have white finish appliances, laminate counters, stainless steel drop-in sink, no microwave hood. Fairly basic. Here's a plat showing the property, and again, here's the deeded surface parking spaces, as you can see, there's also, which is kind of funny, they have deeded surface spaces for the townhomes, I'm just noticing, which are essentially a driveway. We have lots of issues here with the assessor's approach, because they're simply providing a retail value for single units, and we're arguing that If these were all available at one time, and the owner chose to sell them off in a retail setting, they would incur costs for the sell-off model, and there'd be additional holding costs for escrow, closing costs, commissions, real estate taxes, insurance and utilities. And if they sold them all at once to a single buyer, it would be a bulk sale and there would be a discount. So again, we have the issues that are impacting the market. We have increased interest rates doubling between 22 and 23. And we have significantly increasing 30-year mortgage rates for home buyers and condominium buyers. My understandings for condominium financing, it can be even more challenging. Typically, condominiums pay slightly higher interest rates. There also can be tough to get Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac financing for properties that have high amounts of renters in them. So there are additional concerns here for you know, if you're looking at it for a condominium standpoint. And again, looking at the differences, we're comparing a 3% interest rate with a 6.5% interest rate at a typical retail purchase price of $240,000 with 90% financing. In January 2022, that monthly payment is about $900 or $10,900 per year. In 2023, that payment goes up to $1,358 or $16,295 per annually. So that's a pretty significant increase of almost 50% in the amount of debt service payment required, or about $5,300 or $450 per month more. So it definitely has an impact due to increasing interest rates. Next, we have the multifamily market conditions, again, showing increased vacancy, lowering rent growth. And again, we've seen this chart before where we have this significant, these are multifamily sales in the Vancouver market, and we have over $1 billion in sales and in a four-quarter period between mid-21 and mid-22. That has dropped substantially due to the increase in financing rates and continues on to this day. So the market's down from its peak in Q2 of 2022 by about 8.5%. Again, comparing the mortgage financing rates at Q1 of 2022, we have enough debt at our requested value, or after making the debt payments, we have enough NOI left over for a bit of a profit at a 4.5% cap rate. However, if we raise that to 6.5%, we see that we're in a negative leverage situation, and at the assessed value, we're in a really negative leverage situation, almost $150,000. So we see that the mortgage payment has increased over $500,000 for both scenarios in Q1 of 2023, and it was closer. We were at $415,000 in Q1 of 2022 based on our requested value. So the increasing financing rates has also impacted. Here showing the cap rates going up due to those financing rates increasing. And as with the others, we've included the CBRE first cap rate survey from 2023. That's attached as Exhibit 3. And that one is located on pages P1 44 to 49. We've also done the band of investment analysis. However, we are using a 5% concluded cap rate for this property. The income approach is included on page 18. You can see our projected rents at $1,583 per month, and we have some expense revenue as well, and we have some vacancy collection loss, and here we have a projected NOI of $530,000 before taxes, and we're loading our 5% cap rate with the tax load of 0.93%, so we have a loaded cap rate of 5.93%. And at our direct cap, that indicates a direct cap value of $8,939,224 or $203,164 per unit. Page P119 includes an historical analysis. Here we have 5 years of historicals between 2018 and 2022. And we're projecting an effective gross income of $820,000. And we can see that that's far higher than this property has achieved historically. In 2022, they had an EGI of $769,000. So we're up substantially from 2022. And also our projected NOI before taxes is $530,000, again, up substantially over the historicals. So we're showing this in pretty optimistic terms. And we have 5.93%, that loaded cap rate indicates a value of 8.9%. million or just over 200,000 per unit. So we've supported these with sales of 6 sales that range between 217,000 and 348,000 per unit. And I think that's not entirely correct. So our sales that we have are 6 sales that range between, looks like 202,000 and 266,000 per unit. That is before adjustment. And we have the sales on page P121 and 22. You can see the properties. I think with the exception of sale 5, which was built in 1993, all these are newer properties. Sale 1 built in 2015, sale 2 built in 2022, sale 3 built in 2019, sale 4 built in 2015, sale 5 is an older 1993 construction, and sale 6 built in 2020. So even with these significantly newer properties and not encumbered with other ownership structures, they're at a higher range than what we're concluding at, but again, they are significantly newer. So here's an improved sales map. You can see where the properties are located in relation to the subject. sales, you know, 3, 5, and 6 are similar in location. Sale 2 is considered similar as well, although I might consider it somewhat superior. Sale 4 is in orchards, and that's considered inferior in location. So after we make adjustments for locations, age, and average unit size, most of these, all these have a smaller average unit size, so that there's been some upward adjustment for that. We get an adjusted value of $228,000 per unit, which is higher than our $202,000 per unit. But I guess, you know, there's one thing to consider here is that we are 44 units within a larger, I think it's 76 unit complex. So not entirely ideal if you're looking to purchase this, because you don't have full control of the property, and you're going to be subject to other owners and potential issues within that HOA structure. So it's because of that, I believe that it would sell for less. So with that, we believe, of course, due to increasing financing rates for both the 30-year mortgage rate and also financing offered to investors of buyers of apartment buildings, there's been a significant impact to the valuation. And that has caused cap rates to go up. Also, there's been a deteriorating market fundamentals that include negative rent growth, increasing vacancy rates, and also we believe that the assessors not considered decreasing multifamily values between mid-2022 and the valuation date. Based on this, we presented an income analysis. We've got 5 years of historical income and expense statements that we've provided. A typical buyer would place these under heavy scrutiny, and they would not ignore this. We've also supported our analysis with sales of other communities in Vancouver, although those sales, most of them are significantly newer properties than the subject, with more updated unit features, and many have better amenities that include swimming pools and fitness centers. With that, is there any questions?
I have a question. Were these appealed last year?
Yes.
And did we adjust them last year?
I can't remember if they were adjusted or not. Something tells me they weren't. But I'm not positive. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were not, because assessor provided. We have some other sales within the property. So the assessor provided some sales, and it's kind of hard to compare because some of these sales are significantly smaller units. Here we have a 374 square foot unit.
You did appeal last year, and you can't remember exactly if we reduced it or not.
I'm thinking that you did not.
I haven't.
Thank you.
I have it pulled up in packs. We sustained last year.
And but of course, the assessed value has continued to increase. But anyway, here's some of the assessor's sales that they provided. You know, we've got a 374 square foot. This is a studio unit. We don't have any studios under our ownership. Here's a 1,212 square foot unit. Here's a 997 square foot unit. These sales occurred in May and April when the financing rates were lower. Here's the studio occurred in December of 2022, but know, had a much lower value, $113,000. And as far as the larger townhome units, there are no townhome sales within the subject property from which to compare. So that's the crux of the assessor's valuation.
Okay.
I don't have any questions.
Yeah, I don't have any questions on it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your time, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Close the hearing.